The definition of the word insure is to guarantee against loss or harm. It would seem to be understood that as you create or build assets, you would want to protect them through insurance. The term insurance includes far more than the typical insurance instruments that come to mind that you can buy. One of the most important types of insurance you can have is how you hold title to your investment assets. Some of the choices include C corporation, a separate legal entity which pays its own taxes; S corporation, a separate legal entity where the income and expenses flow through to the shareholders' individual returns; limited liability company, or LLC; limited partnership, or LP; general partnership; and sole proprietorship. Our Rich Dad's Advisor's book, Own Your Own Corporation, by Garrett Sutton, reveals the legal secrets, strategies, and structures that the rich have used for generations to run their businesses and hold and protect their assets. By planning properly and utilizing the appropriate entities, you can save thousands of dollars in taxes and protect your family assets from the potential attack of creditors. In addition, once you start building a business or creating assets, you may want to review other ways to protect them, such as through copyrights, trademarks, or patents. Find a good intellectual property attorney and review your business and your ideas for ways to protect them and ways to ensure others can't use them without your permission. For further information on intellectual property, you can also read another one of our advisor's books, Protecting Your Number One Asset by Michael Lechter. After you earn or create income, one of the most important elements of managing, leveraging, and protecting your money is understanding the tax laws and taking full advantage of the tax deductions and tax deferrals available to you. These tax advantages serve as accelerators to your income and help you keep your cash flow moving and increasing.
Ask the Tax Man. We were not created equal under the tax law. Taxes are our largest single expense, and employees have the least number of legal tax deductions. Tax laws are significantly different for employees, the self-employed, business owners, small business owners, and investors. Different tax laws have been enacted that have significantly impacted employees and the self-employed. Even highly paid employees and self-employed individuals are penalized based on the source of their income. The goal, which we outline in Rich Dad's Cash Flow Quadrant, is to maximize the income coming from owning businesses and investing. In 1943, the U.S. government passed the current Tax Payment Act, which introduced income tax withholding for employees. The result is that the employee's income taxes are withheld by the employer and remitted directly to the government. It is often a shock to a new employee when he or she compares his or her gross pay to the actual amount of his or her paycheck. The employee only receives his or her net pay, the amount left after all the taxes have been withheld. Who took my money? The government makes sure it takes its share first from employees. The employee can only invest or spend what is left after taxes, which greatly limits his or her options. Today, there are only a very few tax planning options available to employees. Other than certain itemized deductions, including an interest deduction on your personal residence and deductions for contributions to retirement accounts such as 401ks, IRAs, and SEPs, the employee has few tax deductions available. Then, in 1986, the government passed the Tax Reform Act of 1986, which took away tax shelters and deductions which had previously been allowed. The limitation on the deduction of passive investment losses severely impacted highly paid individuals and professionals such as doctors, lawyers, accountants, architects, and other licensed individuals. In addition, highly paid individuals now frequently lose even the normal itemized deductions due to a little-known phase-out of deductions. As your income increases, you start losing a percentage of your itemized deductions. However, the tax code provides many advantages to individuals who are either business owners or investors. This is why I recommend people keep their daytime jobs, but start a part-time business on the side, so you can begin building a business asset and take advantage of the tax laws created to support the business owner and investor. Furthermore, a person who invests in building a business or in real estate can take advantage of certain losses. For example, let's say a business owner loses several million dollars in his business. This business owner may be able to deduct these losses against other income. If the losses are in a C corporation, the business owner may be able to sell the company with the net operating loss to another business that is profitable and can utilize the loss. Of course, there are strict rules that need to be followed in this scenario. I often hear people say that building a business is risky. Yet if you look at the asset from the point of view of the tax man, investing in stocks and mutual funds is far more risky. If I lose a lot of money building a business, I can deduct or otherwise benefit from the losses. If I lose a lot of money in paper assets, in most cases, those losses are real losses for which there is little tax benefit. For real estate investors, the tax man offers a tax incentive known as depreciation to investors. Depreciation looks like a loss on many investors' financial statements, but it is really not a loss. It creates a phantom deduction, which may result in a paper loss. A good real estate investment will be generating positive cash flow for you, but you may be able to shelter your rental income with the depreciation deduction, thus paying no income taxes on the rental income. In addition, you might be able to offset other income with the passive loss from your real estate up to $25,000 or even more if you or your spouse qualifies as a real estate professional. An added advantage is that the property may actually be appreciating in value, even though the tax man allows the investor to claim that the property is going down in value through the depreciation deduction. The tax law treats long-term investments in most paper assets favorably through reduced tax rates for long-term capital gains and dividend income. One of the very few tax deductions available to employees relates to contributions to retirement plans. Again, Rich Dad referred to this as saving, not investing, or parking money versus accelerating money. In addition to the reduced tax rates for capital gains and dividends, there are other strategies related to paper assets. My Rich Dad's plan was to build businesses, invest in real estate, and then invest in paper assets. The overall strategy included considerations of cash flow and taxes, as well as protection. In general, I prefer tax-exempt securities, hedge funds, and options to equity investments. A person who invests in equities, stocks, often talks about EBITDA, which stands for Earnings Before Interest, Taxes, Depreciation, and Amortization, or the P-E ratio, which is the price-to-earnings ratio. Even though these have become popular terms, do they really tell you what you need to know to make an informed investment decision?